and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday today. Going to have some good articles for you, and also, too, Dad is going to be on the Hagman & Hagman report tonight, so you guys won't want to miss that as well. How are you doing today, Dad?
We're doing great. We're going to talk about a new alpha male stack that I've put together with you in the office as far as getting testosterone levels back to where they're supposed to be and how to block estrogen receptors in the body from all this plastic we're being exposed to and all these toxins in the environment. So it's going to be a really good show tonight. Plus, we're going to go into detail on Doug's wife. Doug's wife was hospitalized on Tuesday night. She was throwing up blood. He has told me to discuss this in detail on his show tonight, so I am taking that as his go-ahead to talk about it on our show today. But she'll be okay. They had to resect part of her intestinal tract where it actually died and it was bleeding. And she basically, I believe, has been suffered from glyphosate poisoning, because this is exactly what glyphosate does. It poisons and destroys the intestinal tract, which is part of what they do in our, how should I say this, our never-ending world of political correctness, our never-ending world of population control, our never-ending world of see how many white people they can kill. God, that's what we're living with right now. And by the way, I want to give kudos to Donald Trump. He pulled us out of the climate deal. I don't know how many toes he had to step on. Even, you know, Ivanka and Jared Kushner were pro-Trump being in that climate deal. So he went against his handlers, and I want to just commend him for what he did. I'm very, very pleased that he has done this to try to stop this carbon tax nonsense against the population of our country and against the population of the entire planet. One of our listeners wrote in and said, do you think now that they'll stop the chemtrails since we're out of the Paris Accord? And my response was no. They were doing chemtrails long, long, long before that. Remember, the chemtrails are a CIA function. This is a Sabotin Cabalas doing this. And when I say Sabotin Cabalas, you guys know what I'm talking about. If you're on my show, you know exactly what I mean by that. This is the Rothschild Satanic organization that runs the planet through their Babylonian money system. They're doing everything they can to nanotag every person on the planet, every living thing on the planet, with their Morgellon tags, their nanotags, with their smart dust. That's what the whole thing is about with the chemtrails. Well, I believe when they finally feel they've got everybody tagged well enough, they may back off of them a little bit. But also remember, they're using the chemtrails to tie us into the electronic surveillance grid by creating a sea of plasma at sea level, not just in the ionosphere. They want to create it at sea level to massively electrically charge the stratosphere to allow them to communicate better as far as with their nanotags they put in us. Once they get to the point where they're able to control us through the nanotags without having to have the sea of plasma or to be able to monitor us more efficiently, they may back off the chemtrails a little bit. I don't know. But also I want to give kudos to Melania Trump. She has now, according to this article, I've seen this in one place. This is from Baxter Dimitri. She has banned Monsanto products from the White House, which I thought this is pretty big. First Lady Melania Trump has banned Monsanto products after learning of the health effects associated with the consuming of genetically modified corn, according to reports. While public debate rages about the safety of genetically modified food, Melania Trump says, as far as she is concerned, GM products are best avoided. She says, quote, Barron's health has improved out of sight since we started eating organic, non-genetically modified food, the First Lady said. After researching exactly where Monsanto's genetically modified corn appeared in her family's diet and becoming concerned about potential negative health effects, she said that she was, quote, amazed at the place this company has in the food chain, end quote. The First Lady, who describes herself as a full-time mom, then realized that Monsanto products produces other genetically modified crops such as soy, sugar beets, and cotton, and these products form the foundation of many Americans' diets. In the interest of her son's, Brandon's, health, as well as her own, Melania decided to eliminate processed foods containing GM crops from her family home. But as Melania explained, it wasn't easy as it sounds. 70 to 80% of the American processed foods contain genetically engineered ingredients, according to the Grocery Manufacturers Association. While the FDA attempts to convince us that genetically modified foods are safe, scientists working for the agency have repeatedly warned that the opposite is true. These brave FDA scientists speaking out against the official company politically correct line, pushed by their corporate superiors, have repeatedly warned that GM foods can create unpredictable, hard-to-detect side effects, including allergies, toxins, new diseases, and nutritional problems. So guys, if this is true, and we see this more and more. Now remember, the mainstream news will never, ever report this, and this is why. AP Wire and Reuters are controlled by the Rothschilds, who also control Monsanto. So they're not going to go in there and stab their own corporation in the heart, saying the First Lady will no longer eat this food, because then it'll try to get everybody to stop this passage of this DARK Act that Obama signed back into law last fall, not letting us know what we're eating. So guys, we got to keep the pressure up like this right now. If this First Lady has indeed done this, and this is indeed a true story, my kudos off to the Trumps. They've knocked two of them out of the park as far as I'm concerned this week. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. Bravo, Melania Trump. If this is accurate, I mean, this is exactly the type of people that we need to start voicing this. You know, when we talk about it on the show, we talk about it all over the place. And, you know, we have a small footprint compared to what the President of the United States and his wife has. So if she really is talking about this now, this is incredible, because this is, my opinion, the GMOs and the vaccines are two of the biggest health problems in this country, health causing issues in this country, and need to be avoided at all costs. That's why you see such an unprecedented push for GMO foods, no GMO labeling, vaccines, all this stuff. When you start seeing something that companies spend tens of millions of dollars on each month to try to make sure that people stay in the dark about it and that the truth does not come out to the light, you know there's an issue behind it, because this is the same thing I've said before from the GMOs. Even people that don't even know anything about GMOs, I always ask them, I say, the GMO labeling aspect, okay, Monsanto is absolutely bent on not allowing anything to be labeled made with GMOs, contain GMOs, constantly spending literally tens of millions of dollars to block anything that is going to go ahead and do that, with the propositions to the bills, everything. But then they turn right around and say GMOs are 100% safe. They've never been shown to cause any type of issues. They increase crop yield. There's not any type of issues whatsoever.
All lies.
Can spray it down with Roundup. It doesn't matter. It doesn't do anything to you. All lies from hell. My whole question with reasoning behind this, if that is true, if GMOs are 100% safe, guaranteed, not a stitch of issues with them, never caused a problem in their life, drinking gallons of Roundup's healthy for you, all these things that Monsanto says is okay, then why wouldn't they want to put made with GMOs on the can? Because technically they're saying GMOs increase yield, GMOs feed hungry people, GMOs keep people from starving, GMOs are 100% safe. Let's promote it. Let's say made with 100% GMO ingredients in this can of food or in this box of food. Let's blast it everywhere to show people how awesome and incredible GMO foods really are. That would be my take on it. Except you guys know, all of our listeners know, that it's the total opposite. GMOs are unbelievably toxic, unbelievably unsafe for any human being or even animal to eat. That is why you spend tens of millions of dollars preventing them from being labeled on cans and boxes of food. That is the only logical reason why you would spend that much money every month and every year to prevent people from knowing the truth. Because you know they cause cancer, because you know they're carcinogenic, and you know they're toxic to almost every living element. That's the only plausible solution. So you guys have to take that and look at it and say, is this something I want to keep feeding my family? Is this something I want to keep supporting? Is this something I want to keep putting my money into? And my answer is absolutely not. You have to make your own decision on it. Also, too, over in Germany now, this is going to sound like deja vu, but it's not. I brought you guys the article back on Monday, I think, how Italy is passing a bill now that they're going to start fining parents anywhere between 500 euros to 7,500 euros if they don't vaccinate their kids, and a plethora of other things like keeping them out of school, yada, 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 because they're saying measles is an outbreak now in Europe, which it very may well be, because the influx of millions of Muslims that have been let in there unchecked, unvetted, and uncleared for any type of disgusting disease they may be carrying. Well, now Germany's following the exact same route. Hermann Gunther, Germany's Minister of Health, has decided to introduce a new measure to clamp down on the number of people refusing to vaccinate their children. Under this new legislation, which would go into effect next month if passes, parents who do not consult their health care providers about vaccinating their children and do not receive vaccines could face fines of 2,500 euros. Such children would also also face expulsion from their daycare facilities if reported on by the parents of their children. Other reports are also talking forcing kindergartners and other public school systems to not allow the children into the school. This is exactly what they're doing in Italy right now, and they're doing it all under the guise of we're having an explosion of measles right now. They're saying now Italy, France, Germany, Poland, Ukraine, and Switzerland and Romania are having the highest number of cases overall of measles outbreaks in recent history now. And what's funny is every single one of those countries has taken in a plethora of migrants from the Middle East that were unvet, unchecked, had zero type of health background, zero type of doctor visits before they let them into the country, and they're wondering why all these diseases that have essentially been eradicated in Europe are now exploding again in Europe. But again, this, in my opinion, was one of the main goals of allowing millions upon millions of undocumented migrants to flood into a country that they had no place being unless they were going to be fully documented and gone through the rigorous health care checking to make sure they weren't carrying any of these diseases. They want this stuff to spread because they have to increase the amount of kids and adults that are receiving these vaccines. There's not enough people that are getting sick enough from all these toxic vaccines yet, and they have to continue spreading it as much as possible, Dad. That's one of the only plausible solutions I've ever seen with these guys trying to push the vaccines that hard. But sitting there and fining parents for not giving their kids vaccines, just like Italy's doing now, boy, you're getting extremely tyrannical with that, man.
Well, it's population control, Austin. That's all this is. That's all it is. It's to sterilize the girls with the Gardasil shots. I mean, we talk about it every show. It's to get rid of white people. I mean, they don't like white people. You know, they want to get rid of everybody. They want to make sure everybody's dead. Or non-reproductive. They want to see if you get everybody, and I'm going to talk about this one more time because I try not to be redundant on stuff like this, but we have so many new listeners every single day. The Gardasil shot causes sterility. It's called premature ovarian failure. It puts the girl into menopause, and it does it very quickly in many cases. I mean, there have been tens of thousands of girls who've been unable to get pregnant, tens of thousands of girls that have adverse health effects, including paralysis, tens of thousands of girls have had their entire lives ruined, girls have actually died from the Gardasil shot. But you don't hear about any of that on mainstream news, but you hear about it on our show. But what it also does is the premature ovarian failure, if a girl's 12 years old and she's not active in sex and she's not trying to have children or she's on birth control pill or whatever, which she shouldn't be at 12, it's complete nonsense, but it happens all the time. What ends up happening is they wait until they're 20, 25 years old before they want to start a family, and then they find out they can't get pregnant. This entire thing with Gardasil is going to have a blowback of gargantuan proportions with these young girls when they finally decide to get married and they find out they're sterile. This hasn't hit the fan yet. This whole thing's going to massively, massively hit the fan now that Gardasil's been put into the vaccine rotation schedule in the United States by the FDA, supervised, I'm sure, by Mr. Gottlieb, big old boy from GlaxoSmithKline that Trump put into place. So I hope Trump wakes up, pulls this guy back out, and puts a non-vaccine proponent into the FDA so that we can have legitimate information being given by our government. But remember, as long as our government's being controlled by the deep state, we're never going to get accurate information on any of this stuff because it's exactly what they want to do. They want to keep everybody in a haze, a veil over their mind, in a partial hypnotic trance to keep them from waking up, because what they don't want to do is have them listen to shows like this. I mean, gosh, I mean, this show is so far out there as far as telling you guys the truth. We're not supposed to do this. I remember I used to get in trouble all the time back in the 90s when I talk about aspartame. I remember one time they got so mad at me. They were sending me stacks of information. And another company, Procter & Gamble, they sent me stacks of information when they released their product called Olestra or Olean or whatever it was. I can't remember anymore. And that was that product that basically caused all kinds of diarrhea, et cetera. And it was a nasty product. It was supposed to be a flat fat blocker. And I used to talk about it all the time on radio. That's when I could actually get onto a national talk show or a large regional syndicated show, because that was before I got banned on radio on the secular talk. I mean, I don't get invited to those shows anymore because they've all been taken over by their interlocking corporate directorships. And not that I was always the only person that got banned personally, but what ended up happening is they banned all types of alternative health professionals because they don't want you to know that what they're doing to you is sterilizing your daughters and your women and your wives and your cousins and your everybody else. They don't want you to know that we've had a 90% drop in sperm counts in the United States since they started feminizing us with this BPA stuff and all of the estrogens on the food supply. They don't want you to pay any attention to the fact that there aren't any alpha males left, that everybody runs around as a beta male, you know, wearing lace on their panties and acting like a little gay boy, even though they may not be gay, just because they've been feminizing, chemically castrated in utero, or continually be continually castrated, you know, while they're in, you know, in school. I had a kid just, I'm going to tell a story, just for the last couple of days, I tried to work with this young man, 18 years old, definitely a beta male, and I've done my best to work with him to try to help him to work out, because he needs to start training. He's one of Harrison's friends from college, and he wanted to start working out. Well, he made it through three workouts, and now he's already quit. And I told him, I said, look, dude, I said, here's the thing. I don't mind helping you. I don't mind helping anybody. But when I take my time to train you, I have a minor in exercise physiology from Florida State. When I take my time to train you, I've been doing this for over 50 years now, and I show you how to work out properly. I said, I don't want to sit here and spend hours and hours with you to tell you how to work out and how to get bigger and stronger and faster, et cetera, and have you quit after 3 days. What was the point of any of that? All I've done is waste your time and my time. So I said, don't bother to bother. Don't worry. I'm not going to be bothered with you anymore doing this. Guys, this is the problem we have. We have these waffling alpha male wannabes. They're betas. They don't know what happened to them, and then when you try to step in as an alpha male trying to help them, they're so caught up in their own lives and in basically, how should I say this in a nice way? I can't say it in a nice way, so I'm not going to say it. They get so caught up in having women tell them what to do that they really don't know how to actually respond as a male, as an independent thinker, to do things the way that they should be done according to the way the Bible laid things out. What do you think, Austin?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Did you hear my little rant?
Sorry, my phone's breaking up. Yeah, the storm's coming in a little bit here. Yes, you're absolutely right with that. The biggest issue with it is we've seen is what you just said. And on top of that, we've had a lot of the generation now before this has really started to have this start to happen. So you have these father figures that either don't want to deal with it or they just let the women run the household. And granted, if that's what you want to do, that's your thing. But the problem is a lot of this younger generation is seeing that now. So they think that they basically have to submit to females all the time and they have to ask for their permission. And it goes all the way into their marriage. And I've seen some really weird stuff with that over the years where you start having these males really think that they actually have to allow the woman to dominate them all the time and ask permission to go somewhere, ask them to be able to do something, ask them if they can take money out of their account. Very weird stuff, guys, and I've seen it personally, and I've stayed out of a lot of it because, quite frankly, if it's your marriage and you want to act like that and you want to have your wife completely run you like you're a dog, that's on you, man. It's not my problem, and I'm not saying that to pick on anybody, but what I'm saying is that has become very, very prevalent nowadays, and we're seeing that now in this generation. And as Dad said, with the massive amounts of BPA, and then on top of that, we have this insane psychop that's been done to this generation, my generation included, in that with the music, with the television, with all this stuff now, they've glamorized the homosexual behavior. And not just homosexual behavior, they've glamorized the male feminism as far as males acting like females, even if they're not gay. That's why I brought that article up the other day now. It's in all these mainstream news things about bro jobs, how it's okay if you're straight and you have a girlfriend or a wife and you want to go engage in homosexual behavior with another man, that's okay. That's completely normal. There's nothing wrong with that. That can't be any further away from the truth, but the problem is a lot of this generation really believes that, and if they don't take it that far, they really kind of go into that whole, oh, it's okay if you want to act like a girl, if you want to dress moderate like a girl. I mean, has anybody noticed over the last 10 to 15 years that a large percentage, not all of it, but a large percentage of the younger generation, the attire, the way they carry themselves, the way they walk has blended. A lot of the girls have more masculine attitudes, more masculine wear. The men have more feminine, and it's moved into this mesh to where I've gone numerous places before, and I've been looking at people, and it takes me 3 or 4 seconds to figure out if they're a male or a female. And I'll bump my buddy, and I'll be like, is that a girl or a guy? And he'll start laughing and be like, I don't know, man. That's a good question. Let's ask them. And we've gotten in some confrontations doing that. I try to stay away from doing that now just because it's not a good thing to really do. But again, I shouldn't even have to ask that question. It's really not something you normally have to ask. But I've seen that really become prevalent, especially over the last 5 to 6 years around the college campuses and everything else. Very troubling to me. Very, very weird. Also, too,
Awesome. I got a comment on this. I mean, this is, you can't
handle
one of those.
Okay. What?
Okay. Now let me explain something to you guys. Let me explain it to you from a alpha male standpoint, because that's the only way I can look at it is from an alpha male standpoint. The Bible says that, you know, we're basically to love one another and care for each other. In other words, you're supposed to love your wife so much that you're willing to give your life for her. And she's supposed to love you so much that she's willing to submit to you. And you say, well, that sounds like you're some kind of whatever. Well, whatever you want to call me, I don't care. You say, well, that sounds like you're some kind of alpha male. Well, that is what I am, okay? Now, I'm not saying that we should dominate our wives or we should lord it over our wives, but we should love our wives, and we should take care of our wives, and we should respect our wives. Now, in some cases, the wife may earn more money than the husband does, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. And what my wife and I do, we have it, look, it's like this. 99% of the time, I just let her do what she wants to do. But remember, I've got a godly wife. My wife doesn't run around at night going to bars, going dancing. She's never done that, nor will she ever do that. She doesn't go out drinking with her girlfriends. She doesn't do that. I totally and completely trust her. And I don't do those things either. She totally and completely trusts me. In fact, we've got a really pretty boring life for most people. We really don't go out to eat restaurants because I don't want to eat GMO food. And we may occasionally go to a movie. And so that's our big extension. We like to go camping and hiking and being in the RV and that kind of stuff. We love doing that kind of stuff, but we're always together. We take care of each other. When I want to have sex, she's fine, willing with all that. She doesn't fight me and start fussing and start carrying on and pitching a fit. And the same thing's in true when she wants to have sex. Now, I'm being very adult right now with the conversation with everybody listening. And it's like this. I treat her like she's the most important person on the planet. She treats me like I'm the most important person on the planet. And upon occasion, something will happen in which we'll have a disagreement about something. And because she respects me so much because of my decision-making ability and because she knows that I'm the head of the household by the Bible and I've been put there by God, she submits and she willingly, without fighting and fussing and everything else, says, okay, we'll do it your way. Now, I don't do that very often. I don't cash those chips in like every day. I don't do that because it's not necessary. Because we understand who we are, we understand each other, and in German the term is basically Verrücklof. We let each other do whatever we want to do because we know we can trust one another. Now, that's the kind of marriage that's a godly marriage that our children need to see that'll raise young alpha males and very godly young women in our relationships with our families. That's what we have to understand. But the truth of the matter is, Austin, the Sabbatean Kabbalists have turned this entire situation totally upside down. They have made women men, men women. They put men and women at odds against each other. And this is exactly what the Hollywood media, controlled by these Sabbateans, have done in their perverted worship, occult services and rituals that they do. They have done everything they can to destroy the moral fabric of the United States. They say, well, we don't like the superior white male. I never said a white male was superior. Here's what I'm saying. The Bible says that men are the head of the household. 99% of the time, I don't pull that card. I don't do it. I don't have to because my wife and I respect each other so much. I'm willing to give her whatever she wants. She gives me whatever I want. And we do the best we can working it out. We've been here for 33, almost 34 years now with an incredibly good marriage because I've done what I told her I would do. She's done what she told me she was going to do. Now, in some cases, women, I'm going to defend women for a second. Sometimes women, their guys are just the pits. They want to run around with their buddies. They want to go out and get drunk. They want to sit around and play video games. They want to basically sit around and smoke pot all day. They want to bark orders and all that. And they're not leading by example to their wives or to their children. And for women who are in those types of situations, all I can do is say this. Pray unceasingly that God will change your husband's heart because nagging him is not going to do it. And for guys, the same thing. If you're dating a girl or you're married to somebody and suddenly they want to go out and they want to start doing things that you know they shouldn't ought to be doing, pray, talk to them, make a decision. But here's what I don't believe anybody should do. If somebody's in a marriage that is ungodly, and they may have started off as being godly, and people committing adultery on each other, or they're whatever they're doing, or they're running around with open marriage, having multiple sexual relationships and liaisons, guys, none of that's okay. None of that's okay, and we can't allow ourselves as Christians or people who claim to be Christians to fall into that type of trap. I told you earlier, I know a guy who claims to be a Christian. He's a top motivational speaker. If I gave you his name, he's a household word, you would know exactly who I'm talking about. At the end of every seminar, he passes out basically room keys to all the beautiful women he can find. He has his staff do it, and they all meet up in his room for a Babylonian orgy after the doggone seminar. I kid you not. This is perversion. This is complete and total debauchery. We can't live like that and claim to be Christians. It's not okay. And this guy claims to be a Christian. He's a nutbag. He's a weirdo. I'm not going to talk much more about it because you'll know who he is. So here's the thing, guys, is we've got to lead by example. If we present if we are the man that we're supposed to be, if we love our wives and we take care of our families and we talk to our children more than 30 seconds a day and we do everything we possibly can to lead our family in the way of righteousness and the way of the Lord and tell them, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord like Joshua did. If we do that, our women are going to respect us and they'll be more willing to submit and do what we ask them to do upon occasion when that becomes necessary. The same thing is true. Women, if you treat your husband as if he's the head of the household and you treat him with love and you treat him with respect, he'll be much more likely to step up into the role of spiritual leader for you. So this is a very delicate thing to talk about. I don't like talking about it because it just hacks people off, but this is the kind of relationships we have to have. I've told you guys before, I was married before. I did not have that kind of relationship, though I tried the first marriage. It ended up in a divorce. Now, I had scriptural grounds for the divorce, but the reality is this. You know, we don't have to sit in a marriage. I mean, now I'm going to really get into trouble. We don't have to sit in a marriage that has gone to H.E. double sticks. Once it goes really, really bad and people start committing adultery and run around and all that kind of crazy nonsense, guys, think about your children, think about your life, think about everything. Jesus gave us spiritual and scriptural grounds to step away from an environment like that because he knew sometimes that kind of stuff happens. It's like with these Muslims. You know, you had another Muslim over in Germany this past week, got mad at his wife because she wanted support for the 2-year-old child, stabbed her twice, tied her to a car, dragged her down the road. I mean, unbelievable. But that's not okay. Newsflash for these nutbags. That behavior's not okay. We're not a bunch of cavemen running around. We don't do garbage like that anymore. That's complete and total nonsense. We're to walk in love, and we're supposed to respect one another as God respects and loves us. That's how I see a marriage is going to be working, Austin.
Wow, well said. Very well said. I'm glad you reiterated on that. That's something we needed to add in there.
Yeah. All right. Okay, by the way, Ohio is now suing 5 pharmaceutical corporations for fueling the opioid epidemic. The state of Ohio has filed 5 major pharmaceutical companies' lawsuits against them, essentially claiming that they have been fueling the state's opioid epidemic. State Attorney General Mike DeWine alleges these 5 companies helped unleash a healthcare crisis that has had far-reaching financial, social, and deadly consequences in the state of Ohio. They don't realize it's the CIA. Mississippi is the only other state that filed a similar lawsuit. Named are Purdue, Endo Health Systems, Teva Pharmaceuticals, Johnson & Johnson, and Allergan. The companies have been accused of engaging in sustained marketing campaigns to downplay the addiction of opioid drugs they sell and to exaggerate the benefits for their use for health problems such as chronic pain. The Purdue's office statement released, lawsuit alleges that drug companies engage in fraudulent marketing regarding the risks and benefits of prescription opioids, which fueled Ohio's opioid epidemic. Now, I want to stop for 1 second. Remember earlier this week, we said they're taking the raw heroin out of Afghanistan, and I believe you said they were either taking it into Pakistan or India, Austin. Do you remember which city country that was?
Pakistan, and then also moving it into Belgium, where a lot of pharmaceutical labs are that the United States actually gets pharmaceuticals from. You know, a lot of people don't realize a lot of the pharmaceuticals that we get are not made in the United States. They're made outside of the country, Belgium being one of them. Also, Pakistan does some of them. India does some of them. And they're using a lot of the raw heroin, supposedly. This is what I've been told by multiple people, and I've looked it up and done some research, and all that seems to be accurate from what I talked about. And they're using that because, essentially, guys, it's free opium. They're guarding the poppy fields. They're fighting off the Taliban so the Taliban doesn't burn the poppy fields down. They're harvesting this stuff. They're turning around and moving it over to India, Pakistan, Belgium, all these places, and then they're using it to manufacture these pharmaceuticals that then they're in turn shipping back to the United States. So they're doing two sides of it, because then the stuff that they don't completely use for pharmaceuticals, They're turning around and they're shipping straight raw heroin after they process it in the United States as well to fuel the underground black market heroin epidemic. At the same time, moving in billions of pharmaceutical opium pills like OxyContin and Percocet and all these other ones that have gained such popularity over the last 20 years and just exploding them on the United States like a cancer, and that's exactly what we see here. So it's twofold with it. But yeah, Dad, that's exactly what's going on over there.
And what they're doing is they're manufacturing these opioids, these like OxyContin pills, in their pharmaceutical labs in India and Pakistan, and perhaps Belgium. They're producing them over there, and they look identical to the generic or to the prescription drugs that are being sold, because a lot of people aren't going to want to start injecting heroin, but they're already addicted to OxyContin. I mean, we're talking millions of people addicted to OxyContin and these opiates in the United States right now. And what they do, instead of putting them on the needle with heroin, they say, oh, by the way, we've got prescription-grade OxyContin done by the pharmaceutical labs that's the same as you get from a prescription down here at the local drugstore. Use this instead because it'll give you the same relief. It'll take care of you. But the whole thing is that was made by the CIA through their drug labs out of Afghanistan and run through the black market, and it never saw a pharmaceutical lab. It was made as a black market product to fuel the opioid epidemic. And this is what Ohio's not getting. A lot of these drugs that are coming in aren't coming out of these laboratories they're suing, in my opinion. They're coming directly out of these drug fields and being manufactured, shipped in through the mob, the mafia, the black market, and brought into the United States on C-130 transport planes and distributed into all of these different areas to basically cripple the American people to be addicted to these drugs. That's what this whole thing's about. They did it once before in China. The British tea company did that. They've got almost the entire country hooked on these opioids. And this is what they're doing to us in the United States right now and to other places in the world by making people think, hey, you're not shooting up heroin. You've got a problem. You're a victim. You've got pain. Now you've got addicted to this drug. It's not your fault that you got hurt. It's not your fault you got addicted. They should have known better. But we're going to give you a cheap alternative on the street to get this stuff and to take these products. That's what this is all about.
Well, that's actually very, very true, Dad. I didn't even think that aspect of it, but you're right. When you start making knockoff generics in these labs, and they don't have to be regulated, because, see, that's the hardest thing they do when they actually go through the pharmaceutical realm and enter in the United States through legal means, then they have to go through a prescription, through a pharmacy, through a doctor, and a lot of that stuff has been tightened up now, so a lot of people have switched over to the heroin. However, some people are still having a hard time with that because they don't necessarily want to go over to something as crazy as heroin, so they start getting generic versions of OxyContin, oxycodone, all this stuff, but like you just said, they're generics, and they look like generics, but they're not even legitimate pharmaceuticals. They're just made over there, more than likely much dirtier. They have contaminants in them, and they're probably not even as clean, but they're very, very, very cheap to produce, I would imagine, especially when you're getting all the raw material out of Afghanistan like that for next to nothing.
That's right. That's exactly right, Austin. What's your next story, bud?
Yeah. Well, next story. About 6 months ago, I did an article, and the reason why I'm bringing this one up, because the other day I was at the movies, and you know how almost all these restrooms now have these high-speed hand dryers. Absolutely hate them. I always like using paper towels still. These hand dryers, I walked in the bathroom, and there's like five of these things on the wall. The bathroom was packed, the movie just let out, and all these things are blasting. There's people in line to dry their hands off, so they're just going. It is loud. I walked in, I said, man, it's loud. I mean, you literally couldn't even hear yourself think. One of these blow dryers is going as loud. We got five of them going nonstop with people back to back to back. They're never turning off. And so, you know, the whole bathroom's tile. You got porcelain everywhere. It's just loud. It's reverberating through the whole bathroom. And I'm just like, I've got to get out of here. I washed my hands, used a paper towel in the one handicap stall, and then left. And now a new article just came out now on a study from researchers at Goldsmith University of London on high-speed jet air hand dryers found in public bathrooms and how they're actually producing unhealthy levels of noise. new, as close to a sound as a pneumatic road drill operating at close range. The manufacturers, they said, tend to test hand dryers and ultra-absorbent acoustic laboratories at one at a time for short durations, which is perhaps why the actual sound levels are so much higher than those advertised. They tested on one of them on here, and one of the high-speed air dryers produced 91 decibels from 10 feet away from just one of them going off. And they said when you go into these bathrooms like this with these horrible acoustics, you know, obviously it's a bathroom, it's not designed to be muffled, and you start turning on 3, 4, 5, 6 of these at a time, remember the decibel range starts to go up. Even though they're the same decibel each, you start adding the sounds together, it starts compounding on one another, and they said it can get all the way up to almost 100 decibels in some of these bathrooms when you have all the air dryers on at once, which explains exactly why it was so stinking loud in that bathroom the other day when I walked in there. And remember about 8 months ago, I did the show on this, 6 or 8 months ago, on how the air dryers, you have to watch out for them because they actually throw more bacteria than any other drying system they've tested on the market, these new ones now. Because what happens is they took these splatter boards and they used it as far as replicating drying your hands off. And about a foot and a half up and a foot and a half down on the splatter boards, there were water particles all over the splatter boards. It was actually blowing small, tiny, tiny, tiny little things of water back on you. Now, if you just washed your hands and that's perfectly clean and the environment's perfectly pure all around you, that's not really that big of a deal. However, when you start thinking about the fact that there's a lot of other people in the bathroom, there's multiple people using these, which means it's throwing it into the atmosphere and you're breathing it, and there's a strong possibility a lot of these people aren't even washing their hands as correctly as possible. So this stuff's actually slinging water everywhere that can have bacteria in it, right in the atmosphere, right onto you, right everywhere around you. Not a fan of these things at all. Now that I know that when you go into a bathroom with a whole rack of them running, it's almost 100 decibels, it even goes to show you more why these things are so loud and why I dislike them so much. So that's my little rant on air blowers today.
Well, no, I was with you at the movies the other day when we did that. I was the same thing. I never use them because the problem is, here's the problem that you have. Now, guys, walk with me through this. You walk into the bathroom and you use the bathroom, right? Now, everybody else has just used the bathroom too, so now they're using the sinks. Now the sinks basically have the little handles you turn on, so you turn the handle on. Now those handles have been contaminated with feces. That's what they've been contaminated with. If you test them with a swab, you'll find it. So you've got, the handles are contaminated. Now you wash your hands, you got more feces on your hands. If you had feces on your hands to start with, if you weren't being careful. And then what ends up happening is you turn the handle back off, and now you got feces back on your hand again. You never touch a handle to turn the water on with anything besides a towel. That's why so many bathrooms now have the automatic faucets that you don't have to touch anymore. But people are still touching those. And so now they're touching the handles, they're touching this, they're touching that, and then they put their hands in the blow dryers, and you can't get your hand in that blow dryer without touching the side of it. I've tried. It's almost impossible. I can't do it. And so here's the thing. How do you know that the hand that was in there before your hand was clean? You don't know that. So what I do is I wash my hands with the automatic fillers if they're there. If not, I use a paper towel. And if they don't have a paper towel, I use toilet paper. And then I turn it off, or I leave it open running for the next person. And I just walk out and just shake my hands off and walk out with wet hands. I don't care because it's safer that way and it's a whole lot cleaner. By the way, here's an interesting article. It says, this is by Brandon Turberville, and I like Brandon. It says, why is ISIS attacking the Philippines? I mean, think about this for a second. We now have ISIS attacks in the Philippines. And it goes, as ISIS moves across the world, conveniently popping up wherever America wants to touch down. Ah, there we go. The fact that terrorist organization is an American creation is becoming more and more obvious to many people. Regardless of the news that ISIS recently managed not only to conduct terror attacks in the Philippines, but was also able to seize and occupy an entire city, caught many people by surprise. Indeed, for those who are unaware of the nature and the history of this terrorist organization and the role American imperialism plays in regards to its activity, the recent events in the Philippines no doubt have many Americans absolutely befuddled. Remember, they also named it ISIS because that's the god that was involved with the phallic symbols and everything else. I just thought I'd throw that in. They want you speaking the name of that god all the time. I mean, they want to burn that mess into you about the whole thing. But I want to read you what else he said about that. He goes, if you want to rightly understand ISIS for what it is, it's a proxy arm of the United States, NATO, and Israel. The reason for the attacks, the location of the attacks, and their timing tend to make much more sense. Such is the case with the recent surprise attacks in the Philippines. Both Mauti and Abu Saif are offshoots of ISIS, and Al-Qaeda, which are themselves funded and facilitated by Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the CIA, and the Mossad. The United States has successfully used the strategy since the late 1970s through Operation Gladio and Operation Condor, and it continues to do so today. The global network of terrorism allegedly inspired and dictated through cave dwellers with good modems is evidenced by the fact that even as Russia, Syria, and Iran destroy the focal point of radical Sunni terrorism in the Middle East, in Syria and Iraq, the organization continues to launch attacks across the world in Europe, North America, Australia, Africa, and Asia. There's no way anybody's doing this from a cave, by the way, guys. The Philippines is only the most recent location to witness a surprise jihadist offensive that overwhelms security forces and shakes the confidence of the population in that government. Now, you go back and you read that whole article by Brandon. It goes into detail about why we're there. It's called "Why is ISIS Attacking the Philippines?" by Brandon Turberville. Austin, what do you think about that?
Oh, I straight called this out. If you remember when I talked about this, what, 2-3 weeks ago with Pakistan getting attacked, they just randomly decided to start, attacking these guys. Same thing in the Philippines. This is what the whole goal is. They're using these guys as a tool, because I've said this 100 times. We've confirmed it with so many different stories. ISIS is fully funded by the Mossad and the CIA. These guys aren't getting heavy weapons and tens of thousands of ammunition dumps and grenades and explosives and armored vehicles and hundreds of Toyota pickup trucks for free. Yeah, they're not building it. They're getting them for free. They're not building this stuff. These guys don't have mass munition factories where they're belting out, 100,000 rounds of belt-fanned ammunition throughout the day through their gun factories. These guys are doing anything over there. They're using them as their own personal private terrorist mercenary force to spread them around the entire globe now under the guise of terrorism. We have to fight terrorism, so it's two-pronged. They're using them as their own mercenary squad to destabilize whatever countries they want, i.e. Syria, exactly what we see going on over there to overthrow Assad. We're funding the moderate rebels, our buddy said to me one time, I've still yet to see a moderate rebel. They all look the same. They all fight the same. You're either in these groups or you're not. We're giving them surface air missiles and all other types of significantly serious weaponry, and then they go into these countries randomly and start taking them over, like in the Philippines, and oh my gosh, why are they doing it? Dude, there's always an ulterior motive to this. These guys aren't just running around with machine guns, armored vehicles, unlimited supplies of explosives and ammunition, trying to conquer the world, operating out of a cave with a Radio Shack remote that they're trying to talk to each other on. These guys are being funded and they're being supplied by the Mossad and the CIA. It's as clear as that. And then on top of it, the second prong is we have these guys now to spread fear throughout the world so that the tyrannical government, the globalists that are above them, can use them as an excuse to say, oh, we have to fight terrorism, guys. Listen, we have to have full biometrics in airports now. We have to have TSA. You got to strip down and go through metal detectors, and you got to go through x-ray scanners because, we're trying to protect you. We want to protect you from the terrorists. The terrorists are the bad guys. We don't want you to get hurt by the terrorists. It's all for your protection. These guys are bad. You're good. We want to protect you. They're terrorists. Bad, bad, bad terrorists. We need to spend more billions of dollars fighting these terrorists and black hole funds that disappear and nobody even knows about. Like I said the other day, the $1.7 billion in arms that went over to Iraq, they disappeared. Can't even find out what happened to them. Tens of thousands of machine guns, armored personnel carriers, body armor, grenades, sniper rifles, night vision. Oh, they've disappeared. I don't know. How do you lose 300,000 machine guns? What, do they just get up and walk out the door? You don't account for two or three of them. I got that. You broke down a couple of them and used them for spare parts. Okay. The one article they said since 2007 now, we've lost and can't account for like 300,000 machine guns. Does anybody else think this is actually real, that this isn't planned, that they're not allowing this to happen? They're intentionally funneling the weapons through Iraq and Afghanistan and shipping them right to these guys to keep them armed on a regular basis. That's why ISIS grows so fast, because they have unlimited amounts of weapons and they have plenty of moronic Muslims that have no idea what to do throughout the day besides throw on bomb vests and blow each other up and shoot everybody. Nothing else to do. Okay, let's go join ISIS and have this massively funded, fed army that floats around the world now that's being funded by CIA and Mossad. It's insane, Dad, and everybody thinks this is just happening by chance, and we don't know how to stop these guys. We don't know how to do it. So what we need to do is we just need to buckle down and turn every country into a totalitarian nightmare. You have to have papers at every checkpoint, x-ray scanners to go into a doggone football stadium now. They even try and check you down when you go to movie theaters. It's asinine, all under the guise of protection. The same thing I've said before. Anybody that's willing to give up their freedom and liberty for protection don't deserve anything at all. Paraphrase something Ben Franklin said. That's exactly what we're going to now. We have to come back to our roots as a state funded militia or military or patriot group, whatever you want to call it, so it doesn't offend you. We have to start coming together and being one as patriots, supporting one another, protecting one another, and not having to sit back on the couch and eat Cheetos all day and watch the mainstream television and rely on the government to feed us, clothe us, house us, and protect us if we want to take this country back. If we don't, all we have to do is keep doing exactly what we've done for the last 30 to 40 years, and I promise you, it's going to go the exact same way that it's gone for the last 30 or 40 years, Dad.
No, gosh, that was a good rant. Oh, God, that was good. We guys have to get one. That one needs to get written down again. That was phenomenal. Thank you, guys. If you, somebody listening can rewrite, do that one. Pat did it the other day for me. If somebody else can do another one, that's great. I mean, phenomenal rant. But the see, this is that now. Okay, you just said something that is so succinct of what we need to do, and they know we need to do this. So what they've done to prevent us from doing this is they've gone in now. And they've got us addicted to opiates. They're producing opiates in other countries, and you know, basically black market opiates that look identical to the ones they have in our country. And they're bringing them in to cause the population of our country to become addicted, to become addicts. They've got us on statin drugs. They've got us on immunizations. They've got us on BPA to get rid of the men. They've got all of this stuff they're doing to us to force us into a girly mode man. That's what they want us to be. And so they're doing everything to make us a victim. Oh, I can't carry a gun. I can't even pick up a weight. But okay, well, why can't you pick up a weight? Oh, because I don't want to, because I want to wear my skinny jeans, because if I start working out, I can't wear my skinny jeans anymore. Guys, listen to me, boys. Boys, if you're listening to me right now, get rid of the stinking skinny jeans and start walking and talking and acting like a man and quit acting like some kind of stinking sissy. I've had enough of you boys, you little snowflakes. You look like a bunch of girls walking around. It's nonsense. That's what they wanted to do to you. Don't let them do this to you. Go jump on the doggone weights. Start doing some squats. You'll be wearing skinny jeans. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry, Austin. But that's what we have to understand. Get in the gym. Teach them how to be a man. Daddies, take them to the gym. Teach them how to work out like I tried to do with this little snowflake this week. If we all work together to try to fix this generation, we can pull them out of the slump. But they want to make everybody have the victim status. Now that wasn't good enough anymore. The victim status isn't good enough. Now we got to have a transgender status in which you can't tell if a boy's a boy or a girl's a girl. They're doing everything they can, the Sabbatean way, to turn everything upside down that God made. They're trying to destroy everything from a biblical standpoint. Go ahead, Austin. I've got to take a break for a second. I'm all fussy here.
No, you're absolutely right. And this the touch base on that article that I brought up by Dr. Anthony Mawson with the vaccine, where they tested between vaccinated children and non-vaccinated children. More research is starting to add on to this now, because this was unprecedented when they did this. They've never really done a research study like this now. And the research that it took at the School of Public Health at Jackson State University, more conclusions are coming out now about this. One of the most jaw-dropping ones that we're seeing now about it is that they're showing directly that vaccine children exhibited a 420% higher incident of autism when compared to non-vaccinated children. This clinical study, guys, this wasn't two or three kids they started testing. They did this with hundreds and hundreds of kids, as well as staggering increased incidence of neurodevelopment disorders. I talked about that in there. that Dr. Anthony Mollison authored more than 50 studies and led the astonishing research. Him and his team, like I said, they found 420% increase in the risk of both autism and ADD in vaccinated kids over non-vaccinated kids. They also found vaccinated children were 30 times more likely to have allergic issues and 2.9 times more likely to have eczema than non-vaccinated children. Vaccinated kids also exhibited a staggering 520% greater likelihood of having some type of learning disability. That's huge, by the way. And this is something that I've seen a lot recently because I get a lot of questions about these kids that are having issues with bowel problems, or they can't go to the bathroom, or they're having significantly bad eczema or psoriasis, or they're having really bad peanut allergies or some type of other allergies. Every single person that I've worked with this had their kids have been vaccinated, they're exhibiting these symptoms. Every single one, especially the issues with the allergies. That's an incredibly big issue. Also, too, in here, Mollison and his team also examined the risk of so-called vaccine-preventable illnesses among vaccinated and unvaccinated children as well. And what they found was shocking. In most cases, there was no substantial difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated children with actually preventing the illness that they were testing for. The only thing they found is that the vaccinated children I talked about before had a slightly higher rate of chickenpox versus the kids that were vaccinated. The issue with that, guys, chickenpox is a joke, especially when you're a kid. It's not that big of a deal. You're over it in a couple days and you're done. So taking the risk of saying, well, I don't want my kid to get chickenpox, so I'm going to shoot them up with 76 different vaccinations to prevent them from getting anything, when they're showing now that there's little to no chance it's going to prevent that illness in the future, especially with these other ones, the measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, I mean, HPV, give me a break. The side effects are so much worse in some cases than the actual illness is. Chickenpox, like I said, it's a couple days. Some of these kids are having lifelong allergies. Can't even have peanuts. Have to walk around with an EpiPen the rest of their life because they have such peanut or egg allergies because of these vaccinations. But they didn't get chickenpox. Come on, guys, do the math, do your research, start looking at this stuff and put the research together and make your own conclusion. But, man, really, guys, I really encourage you to do research on this. That's why Dad said the same thing. Tell people, get them the movie Vax, buy it for me if you have to, send it to them. Get people to look at this information. The more people I talk to, they're starting to wake up about GMOs and vaccines because of what is going on. We're having an awakening in the United States. We just have to keep the momentum going. We cannot slow down at all right now because of the progress we're making. We can't slack off at all because the globalists are not slacking off at all, Dad.
No, they're doubling down. They're doubling down.
Yeah. And
now let me tell you something I'm going to talk about tonight on the Hagmann Show. I want to cover it with you guys first because it's really important. And it deals particularly with Renee Hagmann, Doug's wife, and what she needs to do to help heal her intestinal tract and her stomach and everything else. They had to open her up. They had to zipper her. They had to open her up all the way from the breastplate all the way down to the navel. They had to open her up and see what was going on. So she's got a wicked scar now, bless her heart, and I hope she heals. We all have to pray. Father, we need to pray right now. Father, right now, I pray for Renee Hagmann and Doug and the family. I pray for a quick healing for Renee. I pray, Father, that she heals quickly, that she basically is completely healthy, that she stays away from anything in the hospital she shouldn't be around, and she's able to get out of there as quickly as possible, Father, and she continues to walk in divine health, Lord. I pray this right now in the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus, Lord. I pray this. Amen. But here's one of the things I told her to do. So I told Doug, I said, Doug, I want you to get yourself a juicer and go get yourself about a dozen heads of organic cabbage, and I want you to start juicing them and giving her like 4 to 8 ounces of cabbage juice 4 times a day to heal her intestinal tract. I know with me personally, I was having some allergy issues, and I started really hammering sauerkraut, and the cabbage really, really, really healed me. Now, either you're going to like sauerkraut or you're not going to like sauerkraut, but everybody can drink cabbage juice. It's filled with phytonutrients that helps to help wipe out free radicals that cause damage to cells. It boosts the body's ability to detoxify other toxins that we have in the world, including help to prevent diseases such as colon, lung, stomach, and prostate cancer. It also contains lactic acid, which is a great disinfectant for the colon. It's an anti-inflammatory agent. Cabbage juice works wonders for gastric ulcers and diverticulosis and for the healing of digestive problems in general. Cabbage juice contains sulforaphane that kills off the bacteria causing peptic ulcers. and cabbage juice helps protect the GI tract from gastric reflux. Cabbage juice also contains the amino acid glutamine that is very important for good digestive health. And we have a glutamine supplement, by the way, for intestinal tracts. And cabbage juice contains iodine and even chlorine that are great for protecting the GI tract from invaders. And this is the natural chlorine, not the chlorine gas and the stuff you're getting like bleach. Cabbage juice boosts the immune system and also works to promote and regulate T cells. Cabbage juice lowers cholesterol, helps to detox the liver, and its red cabbage juice is filled with amazing amounts of vitamin C. So guys, cabbage on a regular basis need to be used by everybody. I, and Austin knows this is true, every week, at least twice, I have Sharon make a giant pot of sauerkraut and I eat it. And since I've been doing that, I haven't had any more problems with skin itching and a bunch of other nonsense that I was dealing with. And I finally realized that I had to heal my gut. And because of everything that's happened to all of us because of the chemtrails and everything else, guys, even if you eat clean, you still got these nasty things that are spraying on us. Guys, listen to Hagman tonight. It's going to be a great show. I got myself all riled up already, so I'll still be riled up in a couple hours. So just go ahead. We'll be on tonight from 7 to 9 with Doug and Joe from the top of for the beginning of the first hour to the second, end of the second hour. Robert David Steele will be on the third hour. Guys, I love you. Thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. Thank you for praying for us. I appreciate every one of you. I really, really do. I'm always going to be that guy that says thank you. So I love you. Austin, go ahead and close. I'll write up the summary.
Absolutely, man. Yes, guys, we appreciate everything, all the emails, all the support. Thank you for all of it. Also, too, you can check out the website for the product of the week. A lot of people have been asking about that this week with the chelation therapy. Again, it helps out significantly with doing the bringing heavy metal toxins and calcium out of the arteries. So it really helps to detoxify the body. That's on sale for over 10% off. We also have a kit that we put together, me and Dad did, the Alpha Male Stack, which is, it's a basic stack. You know, we wanted to keep it as simple and cost effective. We have it on sale for 15% off. It's basically the HGH Stimulate, the Zinc Glycinate, which is very, very important for testicular health, the super potent E, which is very good for cardiovascular health, for blood flow. It's also a very good antioxidant. And including that, we have the tribulus fuel, which we have some of the highest quality tribulus fuel you can get a hold of, and the dimension estrogen control, which helps to maintain healthy estrogen levels in males. One of the issues you run into if you start taking natural products that can boost the testosterone is you have something that's called a testosterone to estrogen conversion. Your E2, your estradiol, starts going up from too much testosterone conversion. You don't want to do that. You want to basically metabolize the extra estrogen that's in you and get rid of it naturally. The DIM or the dimension helps to do that and maintain healthy testosterone levels. If you need additional help with that, you can also take the ultimate estrogen block, which is designed more for phytoestrogens like BPA and stuff like that you may be exposed to. With that type of estrogen, you can stack both of them together, but I wanted to keep the kit as simple and as basic as possible for a lot of guys to be able to try. And on top of this, it's a very good stack with the HGH and the tribulus to really help out if you're in the gym, if you're trying to put on muscle, if you're trying to lose body fat and lean up for the summertime. That's a really, really good protocol to go with on there. Dad's going to talk about it more on the show tonight, so check the Hagman Show out, listen to him live. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. And have a great weekend as well, guys. I forgot it's Friday. Day's gone by fast. You guys have a blessed weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.